All right, welcome everyone. As of now, there are 67 attendees, including the board and officers. I'd like to call the meeting to order at 6:02. This is a teleconference of a special meeting of the Board of Governors. The Freedom of Information Act requires that we, for any special meeting, public comments are excluded, approval of previous minutes are excluded, adding anything to the agenda is not permitted. We are required to give 24 hours notice on a website. I'm sorry, regardless of when we had this meeting, unless we waited till the end of May, the regular meeting, we could not take public comments according to FOIA, which is why I sent out emails. Thank you, John Campion and Kay Perulis, for letting us use the Men and Women's Club emails to get to as many people as possible. The reason we're having this with such short notice is that a lot of beaches have been making plans. East Lyme had their Parks and Rec Commission meeting on Monday, where they set their temporary plans. Everything is temporary now until we see how things evolve. But we needed to have a meeting soon because, as you will see as the meeting evolves, if we're talking about security and possible passes and informing the community in the annual letter, we need to start making decisions. Any decisions we make are subject to change depending on changes in law, changes in the pandemic, and changes in people's behavior, good or bad. So that said, let me take attendance. Brooke, you're here, right?
Yeah, she's there. She's unmuted.
Okay. Let's see. We have, let me go through the top and I'll use that as my order. Oh, shoot. Sorry, I just lost the page. There it is. Okay, sorry everybody. All right. Okay, Rick Deschenko?
Here.
Will Fountain? Thank you. Mike Johnson?
Here.
Thank you. Billy McDowell?
Here.
Thank you. Steve Lushane?
Here.
Phil Lombardo?
Here.
Cheryl Colangelo obviously is here. Al Capoza?
Here.
Ruth Ames? She may not be here.
I didn't see her yet, but there's a ton of people on here now, so.
Okay. All right. So let's get going with the agenda. The first thing on the agenda is to develop plans for our beaches and use of grounds in response to the COVID pandemic. Before we start discussing it, I would like to share recent information in regard to East Lyme and neighboring beaches and summarize responses from the membership before we start problem solving. I'm not going to read all the emails, nor am I permitted to read all the emails at a special meeting, but I will summarize them, and Brooke will post them after the meeting so you can see what individuals have said. I also want to make sure everybody recognizes that any policies set this evening are based on what we know today, and we will continue to review issues throughout this crisis. So let me just give you a few reports. Mary Cahill filled me in from the Council of Beaches on what some of the adjacent beaches are doing. As everybody, I'm sure, knows, Waterford and Old Lyme are closed. Old Saybrook has established that anyone on the beach must wear a mask. Attawan is cleaning the beach for Memorial Day, but they are not turning on water or other amenities, and they are not putting out swim rafts. As of 2 days ago, Crescent Beach has not moved their sand back onto the beach, but that was 2 days ago, so I don't know any more about that.
The sand's still there.
The sand is. Thank you, Rick.
Yep.
Mike and Will and I attended the Eastline Parks and Recreation meeting on Monday night. I will summarize what they determined, and please, Mike and Will, if there is anything that you want to add, call right in. Or talk right up. So what Eastline has determined is that they will only provide passes for residents. That would probably, I think they said something like 40% of their seasonal passes are non-residents. So that will shrink their population on the beaches considerably. Someone brought up the issue of legality based on the old suit on Greenwich Beach. And what Mark said, and I think we will be hearing that more and more, and you may even hear me say it, is this is a crisis, this is a pandemic, and we need to know, we need to do what is best for the safety of everyone. And Mark said he would have no problem saying that to a judge if anyone brought up that there was an issue with Eastline only giving out residents or selling resident passes. They are going to reduce parking in the beach parking lots to 50%. They are going to post rules, and they already have a flyer out at McCook, so all the new rules will be posted in many places. They have increased the police presence on the beaches. They are not putting out rafts, and they are reducing the bathrooms at McCook to one bathroom, not one stall, one bathroom. And Mark said he will follow suit with any state directives or state decisions about parks and beaches. Right now, the governor is very much wanting to keep the parks and beaches open. Black Point is a private beach, can make their own decisions, and that is exactly what Mark said. The playgrounds are closed. All summer events are canceled. There will be no picnic tables out in public places, and no gatherings larger than 5 people. Someone at that meeting reported. She did not tell me, or she didn't say everybody else knew who she was that was on the Parks and Rec committee. But it certainly seemed like she was a businesswoman who works has some kind of retail something on Main Street. She said that last weekend there were many people with no masks. There was limited social distancing, and Skippers was packed. She assumed that most of those people were non-residents, but she gave no evidence as to why she would assume that, other than we like to believe our neighbors are wonderful. Mike or Will, did I miss anything that we need to share about that meeting?
I think that was it. It was a pretty good, short, and to-the-point meeting.
Okay. One other thing that came up today that I'm sharing with you, not because I think we need to do this, but that we need to be vigilant because it's going to have an impact on Connecticut and very likely us. The states of Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Massachusetts are now enforcing a quarantine, as Rhode Island had done and then stopped doing it because New York State was going to sue them. Any out-of-staters going into any of those states is going to be registered or documented, and their quarantine is going to be enforced by the state police in those four states, so that may have implications for people coming to Connecticut. Okay, the last thing I want to share with you before we can, I will yield to everybody who wants to engage in discussion, is the feedback we got from, there may have been a few emails that just came in the last, few minutes that I missed, but up until about 10:06, I thought I'd gotten most of them. I just want to summarize what we got from the Black Point communities. Don't, don't hold me on this, but it was about 15 emails. I think universally people wanted the beach open, and from there things changed a lot. From I would like everything to be open and let people be personally responsible. I would like the clubhouse. I would like the club program. I would like the beaches. To many people saying, yes, we want the beaches open. We're very, very worried. And here are some ideas to keep this place safe. So I will share those ideas, and during our discussion, perhaps we can address them, include them, discuss them, whatever. Okay, let me just run down this. One person said, how about if we have a schedule? So rather than first come, first serve, and when the beach gets too full, people can't come, doing something more formally where different properties can use the beach at different times. Someone was very concerned about lack of social distancing and suggested that we have only older guards. Not only, we have older guards who may be more impressive when they ask people to be more respectful of social distancing. Guards in the parking areas. Question about whether we're going to keep the boat ramps and rafts available or put them out. Renters, since there is a law that Black Point does not need to enforce, but there is a law, or an executive order, I should say, that if someone is, no one can rent for less than 1 month in Connecticut unless they are an emergency worker or an essential worker. So someone suggested if there are renters that they be excluded from the beach. Someone else recommended putting teeth in enforcement so that rather than ticketing cars, which doesn't have the same impact, to consider towing cars that are illegally parked. Someone else suggested that we encourage parents to monitor their children so that they are also social distancing and that we not have the ice cream truck. Many people said we would like to follow the state guidelines. Someone said we should consider beach passes, not only parking passes, but beach passes. Someone said residents only, no guests. Someone said, why are we having security in the evening? Perhaps we should focus on the daytime, considering our priorities for enforcement during this time. A few people were concerned that they are paying taxes and we might reduce the amenities they are paying taxes for. So I'll keep that list handy during our discussion, and we can see if we want to discuss them specifically. And at that, I will open it up for discussion. Basically, our goal is to determine how we're going to keep people safe, what we can do, and what ideas we have and how we might enforce them. We'll be discussing security later on, but that will be more, this is what we need to enforce, who are we going to have do it, how it's going to happen. But for now, I think probably the best way to do this, because it's such a complex situation, is to start by just going around the pretend table, and maybe everybody can share their concerns or ideas for starters, and then we can go around the table again, have some more discussion, maybe break this up into issues and deal with them one at a time. But let's just open for a general, and I'll go through the same list that I did when I checked people in, because that's what I have written down and I need to stay organized. So that will be Rick, Will, Mike, Bill, Steve, and Phil. Rick, could I please have your thoughts?
You said Rick?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, talking to one of the people on the board at Oak Grove, they're going to allow people on the beach if they have passes. So they have to have the pass all the time. Rocky Neck, just out of curiosity, since that'll be the most public beach that will be out there, is it? I believe it's still open, but limited parking. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so there is a public space there. I did a little bit of research on COVID-19, at least what was published. According to the CDC, it doesn't survive in pools like with chlorine or bromine, but I tried to find something whether the Corona-19 virus survived in ocean water, and that is inconclusive as of yet. They don't know yes, they don't know no. So that is one of the issues. I've also tried to make contact with one TV station to see if they'll do some additional research on that to see if something would happen as far as telling us whether the virus stays alive or not. I think that a lot of people have a tendency to think they could do anything they want, but once it affects other people's rights or their health, that's not the case. So I have a lot of confidence in the people at Black Point to do the right thing because of their health and their neighbor's health. And if they don't, somebody could die. And you have to say it almost that bluntly, that somebody could die. We have limited visitors coming in here because of the one-month limited rentals, you know, so we don't have short-term renters in here. One way that we could possibly affect anybody trying to come into the beach is to limit parking. Now, there's two ways. One way we could keep it the way it is. The second way is we could limit it to about half. The third way, we could discontinue parking at the beaches and the White Cap lot totally and just have it as a drop-off point. Depends on how extreme the board wants to go on this. That means that people have to go back to the point where they have to actually walk to the beach,
sorry,
or somebody does.
Stop a minute, so I didn't hear something you said. I'm just taking notes. Did you say keep Whitecap open but close all the right-of-ways or keep them off?
No, I'm saying close all the parking.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, so there's three options there. Keep it the way it is, cut it in half, or close it completely to just be a drop-off point. The one variable on that is, golf carts usually don't leave Black Point, so there might be something we could do about golf carts as far as the White Cap lot is concerned. I'm concerned about those older than myself, which isn't that much more older, that they would like to get down to the beach, and there might be some concessions we can consider if we do something along that line.
Okay. Thank you for that thought about ADA. Not ADA, but handicap accessible. Thank you, Rick. And before we move on to Will, I have an enormous apology. While I was taking attendance, I neglected to check to see if our association manager is here. Jim Moffitt, my apology.
That's okay.
Okay. Rick, thank you for your comments. That'll start opening things up. Can we hear from Will and Cindy? Will Fountain.
Okay. Will's got here. When do the present guards start for the season?
Jim.
When school was supposed to get out. So around last third, fourth week in June when school gets out.
Okay. He wants the beaches opened to owners only and parking with stickers only. No hanging tags. And as far as parking, tell the violators, don't give warnings. And no golf carts that are not registered, only registered golf carts.
Mm-hmm. Will, does that mean tow unregistered golf carts as well?
Yes. Yes. If they're not registered, they shouldn't be on the street.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
No, thank you.
No, he's good.
Thank you. Well, this is just the first round. We'll be here for a while. Mike Johnson?
Yeah, I think we should assume that everybody's going to do the rules for the coronavirus, and just to elaborate a little bit on the parking, perhaps we could do a shuttle. I don't know, people with carts, I don't think we want to go into renting a bus or anything because that's more licensing and stuff like that. But for the people that don't get to park, also in the parking lots, maybe you drop the people before you park the car, get out your driver's side only, then you have 6 feet from whatever you're doing, and you're the only one the driver would come out last. The stickers is probably a good idea, the hang tags. You know, you can pass them out, lose them, somebody takes them. I think we ought to, you know, leave it the way it is so far, follow the guidelines, and just like the rest of the municipalities, the state, towns, review what's going on and see how the population is doing and if they need more surveillance, more guards, it's something we'll have to look into. I think that's what I feel, and enjoy the summer. I mean, we all know what the rules are. Follow them, and we'll get through it.
All right. Thank you. Anything else?
Not this time.
Okay. Next round. Billy?
Right.
I got to agree with Will as far as the parking issue, as far as just stickers only. I don't know if you want to cut it down half in the amount of parking that we had.
Billy, can you speak up, please?
Sure. I got to agree with Will as far as the parking, but I don't know if you want to cut the parking down half facilities that we had here for tolls. The towing I believe in. The problem is who's going to tow them and where they're going to tow them to.
Billy, try again. I'm sorry. Or can anybody else hear Billy that can translate for me? It may be my computer.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Cheryl. I agree with Will as far as the parking, but I don't know if you want to cut parking down to half the amount of what we had. Stickers only make sense because the hanging tags, once again, can get lost, shuffled around, whatever. If you do a drop-off thing, there's going to have to be a guard there or something. The person's going to have a pass to prove they are a Black Point resident because you don't know if they're shoveling Uber or Lyft vehicles and drop people off and try to get on the beach that way if you're doing a drop-off issue. The towing thing. Who's going to do the towing? Where are they going to be towed to?
Say that part again.
If you're going to tow, who's going to tow the vehicle? If you're going to tow a vehicle, a golf cart or a car, for parking illegally, who's going to do the towing? What company?
Okay.
Where is it going to be towed to?
Okay.
You know, that's going to have to be discussed also.
Yep.
You know, so other than that, once again, if everybody does what they're supposed to, like Mike said, we should be able to get through this pretty easily. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Cheryl, for running this meeting. Again, you're exemplary with your control of the situation. I read those emails, and I thought it was a wonderful outpouring from the community as far as their concerns. I've kind of hearkened in on that situation where the beach pass would not be a bad idea. It would give us, if things do get out of hand, and we find ourselves having to hire an independent agency like Ace Security or whatever to walk the beach, people would have a pass either taped to their umbrella or, you know, conspicuously exhibited so that people would know, the security people would know who is allowed on the beach and who isn't. That would, you know, save them from having to go up and ask the people what's going on. The parking situation, I think, limiting the parking is good. Shuttles are great. But I think if we have the tools in front of us to, if we make the beach passes and distribute them, we have that as a fallout plan if we do need to enforce it. I have actually, you know, been the brunt of some discussions on at people in the beach regarding coolers and things like that. Mm-hmm. And in the ideal world, they listen, but in reality, people can be a little snippy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're renters or not, but I think we think that everybody uses the beaches are really nice people and they all want what's best for the community when in fact there's a few people who don't. And I seem to run into them more than not. I think
I agree with you. I've experienced that myself. Go ahead.
I think if we have the beach passes distributed, we have that to fall back on. I'd like to have that as a fallback position. So if somebody, you get a party of,
position? I'm sorry.
If we distribute the beach, the actually sitting on the sand passes to the residents, we'll have that as a, you know, a fallback plan if things go awry. And if we do have to hire, I know there was some discussion about having the police or Ace Security or another security company. I think if we hire a security company to walk the beach, they won't have to ask people where they're from if there's a pass hanging conspicuously on the umbrella or pinned to their face mask or whatever. So I think being forearmed would be a good thing, and having the passes distributed to the membership. If we don't need them, hallelujah. I mean, you know, props to our community. But if we do need it, we have that to fall back on as a resource. But everything Will said, everything everybody else has said, I'm in total agreement with. I just want everybody to be safe and respectful of everybody else's situation here this summer.
Thank you. Phil?
Well, I think we should keep the beaches open. I guess everybody agrees with that. And my tendency is to just, I think it's too early to figure this out. It's we don't have any experience. We don't know what's going to go. We don't know how people are going to use the beach or if we're going to have problems or not. What I would suggest, though, is I don't think that we're going to get there today, tonight. I can't imagine us in this situation, in this circumstances, on the phone with a few handwritten notes, actually writing a policy, which is what we have to do. I think what we should do is take the information that we've generated between everybody's comments, because it seems to be general agreement, and some of the stuff that we've heard from the members. And somebody should write a policy statement, and that we should talk about it and go over it at our next meeting. I just can't see us getting this done tonight.
Okay. So I have a few questions, and I do need to respond to you, Phil. When East Lyme made all of their arrangements, now granted they have a lot more things in place than we do, they did it in a meeting that lasted an hour. They didn't do a policy. They just said, here's what we agree should happen. And what they agreed to happen is what I read to you. It was done very efficiently. Looks like we have a consensus, and obviously we don't need to take a vote unless someone needs to make a motion that we close the beaches. We'll assume that the beaches are going to stay open. From there are some things we have to put in place. We can change it. But right now, if we need beach passes, we need to get them printed and we need to get them out. There's an annual letter going out by the charter. It doesn't have to go out, but I think that since people have been getting it by Memorial Day and we're not having an annual meeting, that should get out. So if we want beach passes, if we're changing any parking rules, if we're doing anything that we want to get started as the weather gets hot, we need to put some things in place. We can meet at any time afterwards to change things, to rescind things. This is a time of crisis. My personal feeling is that a policy is an overwhelming task and is not going to be protective of our community. Mark Nickerson strongly suggested that private beaches do up their security. He is convinced that the more that local beaches, including Eastline, are restricting the people coming in, the more they are going to be flowing into other places. So a lot of people mention things about how to take care of that, and we'll talk about that and make some decisions on that. My question to everyone is, what exactly are the guidelines that Black Point wants to follow? Are we going to ask that people stay 6 feet apart? If we do, then there may be days where everyone can't sit on the beach. So we need to start thinking about what we want. We can think about how to solve it in another meeting next week or in a couple of days or in 2 weeks, but we need to start thinking about what we need. If we decide we want cars towed, we need time to figure out how to get that done. Things happen much more slowly now because everybody's put upon. So I think if we want passes printed up, we have to get those. If we want more than, if we want people just to use the stickers that they're going to get from Ruth, then we don't have to do anything about that other than inform the community. And again, anything that we need done, we need to inform the community. And we need time to get that printed and mailed out to almost 600 people. So I am wary about postponing a whole lot of things. We can always lighten things up, but I feel that we need to be a little more proactive. So can someone share with me what they would like to see on the beach, and perhaps then we can have a motion about what our guidelines for behavior on the beach. Rick mentioned what happens in ocean water. That's a good point. What are we going to do with people swimming? We own our beach. We have the right uniquely to enforce what happens in the water in our swimming areas. Whether ocean water kills COVID or not, when you're in the air, the droplets land on people that are close to you. So unless you're playing underwater the whole time, that's probably not going to be a big bonus being in ocean water.
Cheryl?
Yeah. I'll go with Will first, Rick, and then I'll ask you. Will, did you say something?
No.
Okay, Rick.
Okay. One of the key things to make this thing work is we have to, at every entrance to every beach, we have to put up a large sign. And I would probably recommend that we'd follow the Connecticut OEC, which is the Office of Early Childhood, which runs all the summer programs and camps in the state of Connecticut. They're coming out with a revised list of rules on the 15th of May. But as of right now, the major rules which they have is social distancing of 6 feet. They have face mask inside of 6 feet. They have a maximum of 10 people in a group. Now, that's more than what Nickerson had, which was five. But it's once again, that's a camp rule. They have ideas about, I think it's important that we have people who come to the beach, they bring their own wipes so they can wipe their hands, or if they touch a railing or something, they do that. And a little bit about hand washing, which I don't say we should put up stations there, but make them aware they should bring something to wash their hands. But those are the key five things that show up on most of the rules that I've seen for campers. Again, social distancing, face masks, 10 max, wipes, and washing your hands. If you are in a big camp, there's temperature and health checks, but we're not going to be doing that at the beach. That should be done at home by the residents or the community themselves. If you have a fever, stay home. And I would probably like to see that on the sign also. If you are not feeling well, please do not come to the beach.
Thank you, Rick. Okay, so have your suggestions down under potential guidelines, and let's go through it with everyone, and then we can make some decisions about what we want the guidelines to be, and we can get some signage. Does anybody else want to weigh in? So Rick mentioned social distancing of 6 feet, face masks, and no more than 10 people in a group, and they still have to be 6 feet apart, correct?
Not that group, but that's unclear what they're going to do with that on the 15th of May. But generally, if they have a bunch of people together, they have a face mask on. Now, if it's a family, that's different, you know. You could go without the face mask. The only problem with that is just got to be make careful because kids could knock out their grandparents.
I think that we're not going to be able to enforce or follow up who's family and who isn't family in terms of face masks. I think if we're going to make face masks, if people are closer than 6 feet, we need to have face masks if people are closer than 6 feet.
Okay. I think we could probably adopt something where you have a group and then it can't be any closer than 6 feet from the next group.
Okay, anybody else want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, Will had written down, we have signage now and people don't follow the rules. They don't bother reading, they don't follow it, they disregard it.
Right. Okay, so signage gives us a basis for enforcement, but signage without enforcement probably will not be effective. Jim, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
What did you see this weekend on the beach when the weather was good, even though we had a very limited population compared to what we will have in the hot days of July and August?
Thanks for asking. You had asked me to, just kind of monitor the beach, and I did on Sunday, and I went down there like from like noon to 3, and there was maybe like 50 people on the beach, but they were in groups and they were separate and they were all families in groups, and I recognized everybody. There weren't any strangers from, you know, out of the beach, but they were social distancing, not, you know, within their family groups, but between each group. So it seemed to be working.
So how did you know when people were together, if they were families? Because if we have people who are close friends sitting on the beach, not social distancing, that's their decision for their health, but it has implications for other people at the beach.
I just, you know, I recognize the people. I don't know. I just know, like, each group I'd recognize somebody from the, so, okay, that's their family. And then, you know, that's how I knew it.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. So does anybody else want to weigh in on general guidelines? Someone else said, why don't we just follow what Niantic, what East Lyme is doing, which would be social distance groups no more than 5 people. And they're halving the amount of people that are allowed on their beaches, basically.
That is Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
All right. I think the signs are a good idea, but I think also when the signs go out, something has to go out to everybody's email that we have, because many times people say they didn't, well, they're coming to the beach the first time. They've seen the sign. They haven't seen it before. So at least the people that have the email, they get it at home and they can be ready for when they go to the beach, that they have what if, whatever guidelines we're going to be going by. Also,
okay.
Also with this beach thing, I can envision on the weekends getting so busy that there's going to be people placing their blankets in the middle of the night so they have a spot the next day. And I don't know if that's something we want to address now or when it happens.
Well, good to start thinking about it now, and we can decide depending on how long this meeting is going. Again, anything we decide, we can change. But several
right.
people did bring up, how can we control the population, because we have 600 families here. Not everybody goes to the beach, but if you were to go on a hot July day, there would certainly not be enough space for everyone to have a 6-foot, 12-foot radius, 12-foot diameter circle around them. It simply would be impossible to fit them all on the beach. So do we leave that to people? Do we have guards say, well, you can't come because it's full, but then they'd have to be taking a count all day, which is another possibility. Do we want to say people can come from 9 to 1, the beach gets emptied at 1, and 1 to 4, another batch of people can come in? Or do we want to wing it when the beach gets full? How do we enable people to get to the water if it's full of people that are 6 feet apart, but that doesn't allow for walking across the beach or from the back of the beach to the water? So,
Cheryl? Cheryl? Yeah. Phil Lombardo.
Yeah.
Two comments. One is, if we start trying to figure out how to keep people 6 feet apart, depending on where they are, I think we have to depend on people know that. And there's enough experience, if you go to the supermarket and you get within 5 feet of somebody, they almost punch you out. So I don't think that's going to be an issue, A. And B, I'd like to go back to Mike's point. I think since we're making this sign up, I think it should say that you cannot save space on the beach. I think that's really important.
Okay. There have
been a resort someplace where people go out at 4 o'clock in the morning, put their blankets out. So if we cannot have that, or the beach will fill up. So I think that should be an item on the sign.
Okay. And I do want to add, the good news is an annual letter is coming out. Because as we know, people have been upset not knowing about this meeting, because we can't expect people to check the website every single day. And we don't have an email list, but we do have a mailing list. And every owner at Black Point will get an annual letter with whatever we have decided by March 10th. I mean, that's in 3 days. If we can make some decisions in the next week, they can get in the letter that people will get by Memorial Day. So far, we have social distancing, face masks, 5 to 10 people in a group, hand wipes, don't come on if you have a fever, no saving spaces. And we can...
Cheryl.
I want to get some things that we can vote on, so we have a package here. What was that, you, Phil, again?
No, yeah. Question about the face mask. Are you saying that if it's a family group together within in a little group, that they have to wear face masks?
No.
Just checking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everything else. There are no clear-cut anythings.
I want to know what's going to go on the sign. So we're going to say that if you're in your family group, you don't need a face mask. Is that correct?
I would, if you're in your family group and you're not going to the water and you're not leaving the family group.
Well, and you don't get it within 6 feet of someone.
Right.
which is already covered in the 6-foot part.
My big concern is we become a police state, and I really don't want to be that. I have a lot of confidence in the people of Black Point, like I've seen in Stop and Shop and Lowe's and these other places, that they will honor these things. And these signs that we put up are different in that before they were things that went up. This is a matter of, I hate to say it, but life and death for some people. So this is a very important thing. 80,000 people died last year because of a flu with a virus shot, with a shot. This year we have probably, you know, another 50% higher than that are going to die of the COVID-19. And that's with social distancing. And if we don't follow it, that number could go up. So that has to somehow, the people I think are smart enough in this neighborhood and love this neighborhood enough where they will take care of themselves and their neighbors. That's my opinion.
Well, I hate to be a Grinch about this because I have very high esteem for the people in my neighborhood and I love Black Point and Black Pointers. My experience in the past few years is when I have gone to somebody who is blatantly breaking a rule and mentioned it to them, their response was, that's okay. Now, that is not your typical Black Pointer, but it doesn't take more than one person to spread an unknown sickness that they may not even obviously know that they have to the entire community. So I think we are living in a bit of a fantasy to think everything's going to be all well and good. Most people here are very goodwill. Everybody here is frayed, not afraid, frayed. Their nerves are frayed so that none of us is going to be on our best behavior. It's going to be easy for them to be conflict. And my feeling is that if we can establish some standards that are enforceable, hopefully we won't have to enforce them, but we'll have something in place to protect everyone.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Will has a question. How do we say 50% capacity on the beach when we don't know the total capacity?
Well, we could figure out the total capacity by dividing the area by 12-foot squares.
We could do that. Cheryl, Phil Lombardo?
Yeah.
If we have rules that say you have to be in groups of 10 and you have to be 6 feet apart, that automatically gives you a capacity issue. If you show up at the beach and there are no places where you can sit that you aren't 6 feet apart, there's no place to sit. You don't go. To come up with a number and then enforce it would be, I think, impossible.
This is Rick. I agree with Phil. I think we're getting too far into the minutiae.
Okay, so we should just assume that whatever guard there will kind of span, take a look, and then say to people, I'm sorry, you can't come in until things settle down. Is that what people are saying? I just want to clarify.
My clarification is that I think people will do that if they know what the rules are, period.
You think people will automatically walk down by the people?
And if people do sit closer than 6 feet, then the guard should go tell them that it's inappropriate.
Yep.
Should the guard tell them to leave or that's inappropriate?
We should tell them to leave. I wouldn't have any problem with that.
Okay.
You're not 6 feet apart.
All right. So
what do they do at Rocky Neck?
Pardon me?
What do they do at Rocky Neck?
By having the parking and not having walk-ins.
Well, we can't do that. Yeah.
Now, this is Mike Johnson.
We can't do that, so we can just leave it to the guard to say, okay, it looks okay, or we can make it more structured and then just bring out some people. Mike.
All right, so if we're going to do 6 feet with groups of 10, what happens when you're in the back against the wall by front of Steve's house and you want to go to the water, are you going to be able to go into that 6-foot space?
That's a good question. Maybe we can figure out having, an aisle with a 6-foot wide aisle or a 12-foot wide aisle, like at the base of everybody's stairs, to kind of break up so people can walk along the back and down to the water. And that's something the guards can just kind of help out with people. You know, I don't think it's practical to mark it. But if we just say at the foot of everybody's stairs on the beach wall, there needs to be a 12-foot wide path going to the water.
Cheryl, you just took out the whole beach. If everybody is 6 feet apart, then you should be able to walk around the perimeter of them and be 6 feet from them.
They would have to be 12 feet apart to walk between two people and still have 6 feet.
That's true. But that's ridiculous. Nobody does that even in the...
Right, that's right.
Cheryl, yeah. Steve.
Then we're back to the guests, which are a possibility too.
I think the recommendations are based on if somebody sneezes or coughs, the 6-foot rule is good. Routinely, the breezes on the beach just move the air quite substantially. I think we're okay with less than that.
Okay.
And in listening to the conversations, I made some notes, and I didn't mean to butt in, but I think the consensus really would be that with the 6 foot and 10 people, the raft situation would not be conducive to that. I think if we eliminated the rafts for this year, the swim rafts, you can get a lot of people on the rafts, usually young kids, and they can bring things home. So I think, I don't know if we've had a policy on that yet, as far as whether or not we should install the rafts, but I would vote no on that with what we're dealing with this year. And as far as people reserving places on the beach, Mike Nibelung does a great job with our grooming of the beach, and I feel badly for him every time he has to get off his tractor and move somebody's beach chair up to the seawall because they've left it there overnight. So anything where people would reserve a place before 8 o'clock in the morning would make his job a lot tougher, and they would be moved anyway. So people going down at 2 o'clock in the morning to reserve a spot just isn't going to work. Their chairs are going to be moved. Maybe destroyed by the tractor. I don't know. He could get an attitude one morning. But I've seen him be pretty upset with people who leave things on the beach that he has to move in order not to hurt them to a neutral area where they're not going to be reserved anyway. And the third thing, I guess this is a great indicator of how necessary Black Point Beach Club Board of Governors needs the email addresses of members. We need to get information out. We have a lot of people who are just very clingy to the email address. They don't want to let it out, but I think there should be a tremendous push by the board and by the membership to be registered in the community so we can notify people of what's going on. People are complaining that, we're going to vote on something they don't have any say in. They can't communicate with us. But I think if we can communicate with them through email, that would be wonderful. We just do not have that capability because I think we only have 25 or 30% of the email addresses of the people that own here. But I think that's part and parcel of what we're trying to do, get notifications out to people, be transparent, let people know what's going on. And I think that, if people want to send us our email addresses and we can add it to our database, that would be great. I'm done. Okay.
Thank you for that plug, Steve. I will send that in the annual letter, but we have 94 people listening in right now, or 94 people that have their computer on and have left because they're sick and tired of all this. So of you 93, someone left, I annoyed them. For you 93 folks, please send us your email. Send it to the Board of Governors. I'm going to tell it to you right now if you're listening. B as in boy, O, G as in George, at blackpointbeachclub.com. Please, please send us your email. It's the only way we can get in touch with you other than the website. And we know that it's not reasonable to expect someone to check the website every single day, especially in times of change like that. If you can get us your email, we can get it plugged right in and keep in touch with you.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you, Steve. All right. How about if I kind of summarize, and then maybe someone can make a motion. And if anyone doesn't agree with any part of the motion, we can have a discussion on that before we vote, or we can modify it. But just in terms of the beach, I guess basically let's come up with what we want to happen, and then we can decide what goes on the signage and what will just go out in general, or the beach guards will know, or whatever. So one of the things is social distancing of 6 feet apart, a mask if you are closer.
Cheryl,
Cheryl, yeah. Yeah.
This is Rich. Can we just vote on one thing first, such as keeping the beach open?
We don't have to because nobody is making a motion to close it.
Okay, good. Okay.
I believe.
We're talking about the posted rules.
We're talking about our general guidelines.
Okay.
And then we can decide which of them we're going to post and which we will just send out in the annual letter. And, you know, because we're probably going to have more things that are going to, if we post every single thing, we may lose people's attention. So let me summarize, and then maybe someone can take a motion. Wait a minute. Before I do that, can I just go over to remind people of what the membership mentioned in case there's anything else we want to include in this discussion. So we're just talking beach now, not the rest of the community. I'm just going to read really quick. Scheduling times per property, having the boat ramps and rafts not available, the security stuff we'll talk about later. Ice skiing trucks, state guidelines, a beach pass for the beaches. All right, the other things more have to do with we really want it open or personal responsibility or things like ice cream truck, which we can discuss later, aren't specific. So it looks like the things that are the most concrete and the things that we may need to prepare for in terms of letters or equipment, 6 feet apart, using masks if you're closer, no reserving places on the beach, beach passes to be taken to the beach, cars need stickers to use the parking lots as opposed to tags. I think towing should be another category, I think. So does anybody, no saving spaces. Those are the salient features I have. Does anyone want to make a motion with those and or other things? And then we can vote on those specific guidelines.
This is Rick. I just have the six items: social distancing, 6 feet, face masks if closer, 10 max people. Bring your own wipes. Take care of hand washing. If sick, stay home. Those are the six key things. And those are the six key things on the Connecticut state guidelines.
For preschool.
Not preschool, for camps and summer programs.
All right. My personal question would be, would it be reasonable? Usually wipes are for surfaces. And is it going to be reasonable to have people bringing wipes? And then do we want 5 or 10 people? Right now, the executive order standard is 5 people in a group in public places. So I need someone to make a motion. You can say five. You can say, do you want to have, does anyone want any discussion? I'd like to know how people feel about five versus 10 people in a group. And then whichever it is, we can include it in the motion.
Cheryl, Phil Lombardo.
Yeah.
My issue is with the masks. I think we said masks are not needed in a family group. Is that correct?
Not needed in a family. Right. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, anyone can modify this. I'm just trying to summarize. I'm taking notes. So just because I'm taking notes doesn't mean I get my way. Anyone can make any motion they want, and we can vote on it. So
this is Rick. I'm going to go with 10 max, which is the summer program guidelines from the state of Connecticut. And I think there's a lot of families that five would cut it short.
Okay, tell you what. Now we can get back to Robert's rules. I have been not consistent with that. So somebody make a motion, then we will have discussion. And if we want to modify the motion, we can vote no on the motion or we can amend the motion. So let's have someone make a motion, and we'll get more specific with this.
Okay, you said, let me make a motion. I make a motion that we put up a sign that posts the following rules on COVID-19 awareness at the beach: social distancing of 6 feet, face mask if you are closer than that with other groups, 10 maximum, bring your own wipes. Please take care of washing your hands. We could detail that a little more. And if six don't come to the beach, stay home.
I'll second that. Mike Johnson.
Okay, thank you. Brooke, do you have that?
Yes, I got it.
Great. So social distancing 6 feet, face mask if you're closer than 6 feet, 10 people maximum in a group, wipes if you're sick, don't come to the beach. Is that everything?
Yeah.
Cheryl, Phil Lombardo, it still didn't say that in a family group you don't have to have the mask.
That is correct.
Is that what, and is that, you did that purposely, Rick?
Yeah, I was just saying, do we want that on the sign? We can.
No, I don't care what's on the sign, but I want to know if Rick thinks that's a bad idea or a good idea.
It's the sign, just unless you're in a family group. Okay.
Phil?
Modify that amendment?
Phil, in a family group, you would not have to have the mask because you're living together in the same house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any discussion?
Yes, Cheryl, Steve. Can we change the word family to household? We have people in families and we have people living in the household. I think a household is a broader term. It's probably more of an appropriate verbiage.
Okay.
In the morning, you come out.
Once we get everybody's changes, we can amend. Someone can just move to amend this motion. That would be one of the amendments. Yeah.
Cheryl, Phil Lombardo.
Yeah.
What wasn't mentioned that you shouldn't save space for shouldn't reserve spaces on the beach.
Okay.
Which I think we agreed to.
Okay. I have something for discussion. I think asking people to bring wipes isn't going to ensure everything unless we want to tell them how to use the wipes. I think that asking people to bring wipes to the beach should not be one of our priorities.
No.
So
you're gonna have to be
what?
This Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
With the wipes, there's already trouble with people leaving that garbage in parking lots, in the stores, in cars. I don't think we should even talk about them.
I
agree, Mike.
Okay, this is Rick. I disagree in that. if we don't have them bring their own wipes, then will it be our responsibility to wipe down all the railings? I think not. I think it's their responsibility. If they're going up the railings, they bring a wipe, they wipe it off, they put it in their bag, and they bring it home.
Okay, do you think anybody's going
to
do that?
To amend that, Rick. We will vote on it, and if it gets voted down, we'll take wipes out. Does anybody else want to discuss wipes?
This is Phil Lombardo. I don't support the wipe idea. I think that to think that everybody who goes up and down that railing is going to get a wipe out of their bathing suit and wipe down the bar is not going to work. If you're concerned about the bar don't
every 2 hours
wipe it. But if you're not concerned or you don't need it, I don't know. I just think it's too hard.
Rick, do you want to modify your do you want to amend your motion?
I just have one other comment. There are places where condo complexes require a complete wipe down of the facility from chairs, knobs, railings every night, in order to combat the COVID-19. If we don't have people monitor themselves, does it become our responsibility? I'm just trying to say, try to put the responsibility back on the beachgoers than on the community.
I'm going to stop the discussion now only because in the whole picture of the whole world with the COVID pandemic, I think we should not be spending this much time on wipes. So if you want, we can go ahead and vote with wipes in, and if it doesn't pass, we'll amend it and vote with wipes out. Would you like to do that?
Whatever you want, Cheryl.
Rick has a motion on the floor. We can vote on it, or someone can accept the household. The thing that I left out with face masks, except the household, is I don't know. Does anybody have a problem with just not changing it, but including that because I worded it wrong? Face masks worn within 6 feet, unless it's the same people in the same household. Is everybody okay with that?
Again.
Okay. I'm not quite sure. Brooke, you may be able to help me with this because I'm not quite sure about procedure. We want to add save spaces. Do we need to vote on the original motion and then vote it down and then add save spaces?
I think probably the easiest thing to do, like, for example, if Rick agreed that he wanted to include not saving spaces, he could just go ahead and say, I'm going to amend my motion to include the following. And then if the same person seconded, it would be fine. You wouldn't need to vote the motion down and then do it again.
Thank you. Then Rick, I'll
tell you what, why don't I just move that we vote on the original motion?
Okay, so Brooke, would you please read the original motion?
Sure, give me 1 second. So, let's see. Rick moved to install a sign posting the following: observing social distancing, 6 feet apart, face masks. Closer, 10 people maximum, bring own wipes. Encourage people to wash hands. If ill, do not stay at home. Do not come to the beach.
Okay. Rick, encouraging what? Is that what you want? Encouraging people? Is that what you want on the sign? People should wash hands?
Yes.
Where?
Okay.
That's all the government regulations that we see from the state of Connecticut.
Okay, so how are we going to clarify wash hands? under what circumstances, because we're going to have to explain to people when we have a sign that says wash hands, what do you want them to do, just so we know what we're voting on?
I don't think we have to clarify that. I think that's self-explanatory.
All right. Let's take a vote on that. All in favor of the list that Brooke read, including washing hands, we'll go around the table. Rick, obviously.
Yes.
Okay, Will?
If you want to go to the beach together, we have to do this.
No, not when you're together.
No, yes. We're not 6 feet apart. So that's what that says.
No.
Yes.
Will, are you thinking?
Good. If you're in a group and you're not in your family, you shouldn't have to wear a mask. And that's
right.
Not in there.
While Will is thinking about responding, Mike?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, yes.
Bill? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Steve? Steve?
Oh, I was on mute, sorry. I would vote no because of the hand washing. I think we'd have to provide a station for people to wash their hands, and I don't know if we want to get involved with that.
Okay.
And I vote no because I don't want to wear a mask when I'm sitting next to my wife at the beach.
Unless you're in the same household.
No, that's not what it says.
I think Rick modified that. Didn't you, Rick?
No. He said,
you amended it to say, unless you're in the same household?
Yeah, household, yeah.
Okay.
That's not what was read.
No. I read the original motion prior to any amendment because Rick moved
right.
to
so
on the original motion.
Right. Right now, I have to wear a mask when I'm sitting next to my wife at the beach. So I say no.
Okay. Will, are you there?
He abstains because we don't know what the price is going to be for printing and posting and installation.
Of what?
Of the signs.
Okay, and I am voting no, so we have a tie.
Canada, I'm not here.
Brooke, back to procedure.
Cheryl, how can we have a tie? Aren't there seven of us?
Will is abstaining.
Who's? Oh, Will abstain?
Will is abstaining, yeah.
In court, if somebody, I've been told that, like in court, if somebody, like if they're reviewing a vote and somebody abstains from the vote, that's the same as voting for in terms of, deciding between a tie.
No.
Okay, Will, so your abstention is... Your abstention is as a yes. Are you okay, other than the printing, are you okay with this information? We're not really talking about the signage and the price of the signs. We're talking about, are these the rules that we want to enforce? Are you okay with social distancing of 6 feet, face masks other than members of the household, less than six feet, using hand wipes, washing your hands if you're sick, don't come, and no saving spaces.
For it or against it?
No.
He's against it.
Okay, the motion has not passed. Can we have, so the feedback we've gotten was, Steve, what did you say? You...
Well, my thought was if we have to require that they wash their hands, we'll need hand washing stations, the little portable units that can be rented. I don't know if we want to get into that. I think people are bringing their own chairs and things down. They're touching things from their own household. Railings, if they need to hold the railings, that's one thing. They could wipe their hands after they, touch a railing, but I don't think we have to make that as a requirement. That's kind of common sense if they do touch something that's not part of their own property.
I agree with that. I think that enforcing it all, washing hands or using hand wipes, is going to be unreasonable. And I think if we want people to wash hands and use hand wipes, we need to be far more specific. All of the other rules are very specific. So therefore, we can have enforcers, be they beach patrol or not, coming up and saying you're not 6 feet apart. You need to wear a face mask. You have more than 10 in the group. You're sneezing, and you can't save spaces, but you can't have a beach patrol person come up and say you're not using a hand wipe or you haven't washed your hands. So if we want those in it, we'd have to be much more explicit. Steve, would you like to amend that and see if we can get a second on this?
Why don't I amend that? I will amend that to have the first three and the last item of the first proposal. So in other words, social distancing was 6 feet between groups. Face masks, if not, 10 max per group, and if 6, don't come to the beach.
Do you want to include
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
You want to include no saving spaces. That was in the original motion.
I still didn't hear what you said. No
saving spaces on the beach.
Oh, I don't think I said that.
Brooke, was that in the original motion?
No. That was me.
No, that was discussed after.
That was added?
Yeah. I still move that.
How about if we do these one at a time, because we are spending more time trying to get one motion done than we could get six motions done. So let's have a motion on social distancing. This is not a reasonable amount of time to spend on this motion. Social distancing, 6 feet. Can I have a motion?
So moved, Steve.
Second.
I'll second it, Mike.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry. I forget that we're not in a room together. I'm sorry. I got to go through this. Rick?
Between household groups, yes.
Social distancing, 6 feet. Yes or no? That's the motion.
That would affect Phil's thing about separating from his wife. So that's not quite what way it should be written.
Phil's thing was on safe mail.
Yeah, 6 feet unless they're in their own household.
Tell you what, Steve, do you want to modify that social distancing 6 feet from except for household members?
Yes.
From you, exactly right.
Okay, so Steve amended the motion. Social distancing 6 feet except for household members. Somebody want to second that?
Rick.
Okay, Rick, what's your vote on that?
Yes.
Will?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Cheryl? Okay, that motion passed. Someone make a motion that let's maybe get three not controversial ones together. Someone maybe move that closer than 6 feet, face mask must be worn unless you're a member of the household, and groups of 10, maximum of 10 people in a group. And if you're sick, don't come. Those are three not controversial ones. So right. Does someone want to move those?
We'll make that motion, Steve.
Thank you. Second?
Mike, I'll second it.
Thank you. Okay, Rick?
Yep.
Okay, Will?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Bill?
Could you read it one more time?
I don't have it written, but
could Brooke read it?
Yeah, six feet, mask must be worn unless part of the same household. 10 people maximum per group. If no, do not come to the beach.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. And yes for Cheryl. Motion passed. No saving spaces. Rick? I need a motion.
I'll make that motion because it's impossible with Mike Nibelung, he just moves everything anyway, so everything's erased every morning.
Okay. I second it.
I don't think it'd just be for 2 o'clock in the morning. It could be at 10 o'clock in the morning. It could be any time.
No saving spaces. So, period. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, Rick.
I'm going to pass on this one.
Okay. Will?
No.
No.
No?
No.
That was a no?
Want them to be able to?
No.
He doesn't want them to be able to.
Okay, so that's a yes. It's a double negative. Mike?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Cheryl? Passed. Six. Yes. Yes. One abstain.
Hey, Cheryl, I'll change my vote to a no.
Okay. Six passed, one no. 6-4, one no. Rick, are you okay if we put wash hands and use wipes in one motion?
I thought those were already deleted. Just delete them.
Delete them. Okay. You have all that, Brooke? Thank you. Okay, some of the other things, we don't have to deal with everything, but there are some things we need either to get in touch with people or if we
There's one more item on there about if sick, stay home.
We included that in with, did we not, Brooke?
Yes, you did.
Okay, I did hear it. Okay.
All right. Do we want beach passes? Because that's something we need to decide soon so we can get them printed out. Like one pass per family,
Yeah, it's Steve. I think we should have them if we need them. I hope for the best, but you got to plan for the worst. So I think if we have passes and we require people to
make them visible. If we have to go to a security system, I just look for what could happen. To be forewarned and all that good stuff. So I think if we have those passes distributed, they'd be much more usable than if they weren't distributed.
Would you like to make a motion, and then if it's seconded, we can have a discussion and a vote?
Sure. I'd like to make a motion to establish the use of beach passes for members of the community, whatever number the board seems reasonable is fine, but I think we should have some way of identifying members should the need for external security system or company to come in to enforce our laws.
Okay, so make that a short motion.
I move that we have beach passes available for permission to use the beach.
Is that a second on that?
I'll second it, Mike.
Okay, any discussion?
I'd like to modify that to 2 per household.
Well,
I do.
We'll have a question.
It doesn't really matter. It's a matter of cost because...
Well, Cheryl, I have a question, and it's for Jim. Yeah. Jim, how much does it cost to make the stickers that we have now?
It's going to be probably like $800.
For what?
For those parking stickers you get in the mail every spring.
No, we're talking parking.
Well, we get 2 things. We get a hanging thing, and we get a bumper sticker. Is that $800 for both of them?
As our treasurer should know. I mean, our tax collector should know.
She's not available right now. I do recall that I was just talking to her.
I thought it was $800. I thought it was a number like $800.
There's something like $2 each.
At 600 families.
Okay, right. We'll have a question.
Hang on just a minute. I'm getting disorganized. Just a second, Cindy. We did get a second on this, correct? We're up to discussion. I'm sorry, I'm losing it.
Yeah.
This has been seconded, correct?
Yes, it has.
Okay, thank you. Moving right on. Someone was saying something before, Will, I think?
Yes, he has a question. If we have beach passes, who gets it? The owners, renters? Is it one per family? Do you have a couple of them? What are they going to look like? Is it going to be a card? Is it going to be something you could put on your beach bag with a safety pin?
Okay, so, Will, instead of asking us, how about if we get some suggestions since we're in the discussion phase?
Okay. Okay.
Carol, if we have more than, one pass per family, we're going to spread people out more. We could have 2 or 3 passes per family, but that spreads that family out over several sites on the beach. I think one of the benefits of
it also means they can be linked.
And the people have been together.
If any member of the family can take that pass down to the beach, but if you have 2 or 3 passes, then they can easily get shared. Will, some more thoughts from you?
Cheryl, Phil Lombardo, I think we should do a family pass.
Okay.
And also, I'm wondering if we could somehow, we have these little stickers that we put on our cars, our bumpers.
Yep.
They really don't have much value except to say that I live here.
Right.
Maybe this year, instead of doing the bumper stickers, we do passes and save some money that way.
I'm sure those have already been ordered.
I don't know.
I thought I signed a check, but maybe I just saw the bill.
Okay, no, I'm just thinking that if we didn't know how much they cost, we probably hadn't done it yet.
Hello, this is Al.
Yeah.
Okay, we did pay a bill here. I'm checking $1,400 in the last month.
That was for both the stickers and the passes then. And
right.
The
pass. Right.
Okay, Will has another suggestion. New ones up. Already.
Why can't we? What
about?
Can't we, go ahead, whoever it is.
Go ahead, Will, and then Phil.
I'll jump into the void. That sounds like me.
Okay.
Why don't we use the stickers that we already bought for the cars as our passes?
Okay. Will had said, what about using the tags, the hanging tags, instead of a pass?
Either way, but I think...
do we not get two car stickers?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, so
okay,
what?
So the problem, well, there's a couple of things, and I'm just throwing in. One, if we use the tags, that means the cars that are parking will not have a tag on them when people are choosing things there. If we use the passes, it means that people have two passes, which means that they can be lent.
Yeah.
I suggest we use the tags and use two of them. I don't know about everybody else, but not always the kids want to sit with their parents. So I think you need two per household.
Well, then why don't we use the stickers? I agree with Rick.
The stickers will go on the cars for parking. The tags you could just bring down to the beach.
The stickers don't go on the cars for parking because only one car per family gets to park. Were you the one who made the original motion?
Yeah, I don't think there is. Yeah.
All right, so we have a motion that we're going to need a beach pass, and the question is, and it's up to Steve whether he wants to amend it or if we vote in. So the question is, do we want them to use a car sticker? We can print something up on Oak Tag and people can choose to laminate them, or we can use the tags that normally people use to park with. I don't think we want to get into voting about whether cars should have one or two tags. This is like going to get out of hand. Right now, families get one tag to hang that gives them permission to park, and they get two stickers that just show that they're at Black Point and they're taxpayers. So we could print up something, we could use a car sticker, or understanding that it will be chaos with parking, which is going to be a big issue anyway, we could use the hanging tags. Those are the three options. Steve, do you want to amend your motion to be more specific, and then we can just vote and move on from there if it doesn't pass?
Well, I would just say we should have a beach pass. I think it's important that we have the hang tags for the cars to enforce parking. I think the stickers are fine on the cars. I think for $400 or $500, if it means having another actual beach pass with that written on it, printed up and distributed to the membership, that's a small price to pay for people's safety and control of their environment.
So you're going to move, and do you want to put in that motion whether families should get one or two?
I think families should get one. It's going to be abused if you don't. And they can all sit together and play Scrabble.
So you move that beach passes will be required and one will be distributed by the association to each household. Is that your motion?
Each household, yeah.
I believe that early in the conversation I suggested we have two amendments.
Hey, Rick, hang on for a minute. He's got a motion. Someone's going to second it if it doesn't get passed. We can have more discussion, but we're amending the motion, so does someone want to second Steve's new motion? I will second Steve's motion. We can now have discussion on it, and Rick, go for it.
I think because of the size of households, I think we should have two. That way you could have two, you know, again, for social distancing, maybe you have a group of people, you may want to put five over here and five over there. I think it makes more sense in this world of coronavirus to have two tags.
Cheryl, Phil Lombardo?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I brought up the cost of the tags. I think it's minor and that we can work that out. The time, you know, we don't know how much they would cost, and there might be a zillion different ways to do it. But I'm thinking, Rick, that given the fact that you have to have this circle around everybody this year, that if you go down with your family and then you split your family in half, that you just took up 2 6-foot circles rather than one, and this may be not the year to do that.
Any further discussion?
Yes, I have something, Mike Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I want to really throw something in. Who's going to check them? And my idea is, why don't we have a list of everybody, and you get your hand stamped when you go in instead of worrying about stickers or no stickers or hang tags. If somebody's going to be checking them anyways, they'll have a list of property owners. You on the list, you get a stamp on your hand.
Okay, thanks, Mike. So that would be a different motion. We can vote on this, and if people want if people prefer the hand stamping, then we'll have another motion and vote on that. Sound reasonable?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, so let's have a vote on Steve's motion for one beach pass per household, which the association will print up. Rick?
No.
Will?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Mike?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Cheryl's a yes, so that motion passes 6 yeses, 1 no. That looks like most of the things in terms of the beach that we need to decide upon today to let the community know and prepare with printing and signs. If it's all right with everybody, we can move on to the other parts of, which will probably be a lot quicker. Does anybody have anything else they want to discuss specifically to use of the beach? Again, we can meet next week. Things can change. Things will change. So none of this is written in stone. This is what we've decided to foresee in the future. Is there anything else someone wants to discuss and try to determine tonight regarding the beach? Not counting security. That's our next section.
Cheryl, this is Rick. Parking.
Okay. Thank you, Rick.
I move we just keep it the same for now until we see what happens.
Second on that, please.
I'll second, Steve.
Any discussion? All in favor? Oh, Rick, Brooke, Rick, you want to put that in a formal, because the motion's going to come out in writing, and just reword it, or word it the same just so I can hear it again.
I move that we keep the parking regulations the same.
Tell you what, it has just occurred to me. If we're not changing anything, we don't need a motion.
Okay.
Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome.
Again, it's all about, you know, enforcement and security. All right, there are a few other things before we move on to security. That people are asking about now related to our grounds. We have not, I'm sorry, I'm shuffling papers around here. Let's see. It help me throw things out as I do. We have not specifically addressed in the context of no public use, no recreational use of you know, public recreation activities. We have addressed the clubhouse. We have addressed the playgrounds. I believe we've addressed the tennis courts and the basketball courts. We have not addressed the bocce court. We have not addressed the shuffleboard. We have not addressed, other than the big boat launch. I know Will had a concern, and several people had concerns about the smaller boat launches at South Beach and Nehantic being used more as a raft for people to play on. So people were concerned about not using those boat launches, just keep the big one. Does anybody else have any other things that they think need to be covered in terms of places we want to address so that people stay safe and stay in groups of less than five and aren't using public recreational facilities, public meaning our recreational facilities? Did that cover everything that we need to determine in terms of spaces that people were asking about?
Cheryl, this is Rick. I thought we opened up the boat launch.
We opened up the main boat launch at Sea View.
Yep.
We didn't discuss the two little boat raft, you know, the one on the Nehantic Pier and the one on the Osprey Pier. And Will brought that up as a potential place for people to hang out.
Yeah. And the other thing I think we need to mention is the kayaks, because that's only a few people at a time.
Thank you. All right. Well, how about if we package bocce and shuffleboard together, since they're right up there with all the other things at the clubhouse? Anyone want to move that for the time being and until we hear from the governor that we close the bocce and shuffleboard court?
So moved, Steve.
Second? I'll second it. Any discussion on closing bocce and shuffleboard? Okay. Oh, I lost my list of names. Oh, here we go. So the motion is to close the bocce and shuffleboard court until further notice. Rick?
Yes.
Will?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Steve?
Yep.
Bill?
Yeah.
Okay, motion passed unanimously. Thank you, folks. Will, did you want to make a motion about the two smaller boat launches? Well, they're not boat launches, the boat rafts.
Yeah. Hey, Cheryl, I think they'd be handled just the same as the piers would be, with the social distancing and all. It's just a flotation compared to a fixed structure. Maybe not have more than one boat tied up there at a time, but I think that's a structural thing like a pier would be.
Well, tell you what, if we don't have a motion, we don't have to have a discussion. I do know Will had brought it up originally because he was concerned that they basically function as rafts, and that's where people like to swim up to and hang out on. But
yep,
if there is no motion, Will, did you want to move to close those?
If you should have, you go ahead, you go and say you can't do it.
He doesn't want to discuss it, he said.
Okay. So boat launches remain open with 6 feet, and that will just be an issue of enforcement. Kayak racks,
Hey, Phil, maybe word that is the floating docks. They're really not boat launches. They're more of a floating dock.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, Brooks, just for the record, boating docks. But we're not, we don't really have to be in the notes because we're not voting on it. Kayak racks, again, if we don't vote on something, it stays the same. So if anyone wants the kayak racks not put up, please make a motion. Otherwise, it stays the same, and the kayak racks will be available.
Can I ask for a clarification? This is Rick. Does the stay the same mean we're putting them up or not putting them up?
We will put them up. We'll do things as usual. So we would put them up unless someone says let's not. Just like.
Okay. Thank you. I'm good.
Thanks. Something about the beaches, and I don't know what it is, but it will wait. Thank you so much for your patience, everybody. We can move on to security. So the issue, I'm shuffling again. So security comes up in two ways. One, just general security. And the other is security in terms of enforcing or supporting the community in keeping the new rules we have temporarily established to protect everyone. So some information that's kind of a follow-up to what we did we talked about before. As a private beach, we can make enforceable rules even if they're not state rules. Mark Nickerson recommended that all the beaches beef up their security in terms of safety on the beaches related to COVID. I think at the last meeting we were going to, Mike and Jim explored the police versus ACE security, and before I asked them to report, Al gave me all the figures, and last year, I think I already reported that, because it's volunteer using the Eastline Police, more than 25% of the time that we had wanted them, they were not able to show up. And the average hourly rate for the Eastline Police last summer was $69 an hour. And Mike and Jim, do you want to give us any more information about either ACE or the police?
Well, this is Jim. I'd just like to say, working with Eastline, I think it's goodwill in having a contract with them. I think they add a lot of deterrence. Just sitting there at the bottom of the Niantic, you know, from 8 to 12 or whatever hours we want. And we also ask them to lead our parade, so that's kind of goodwill. I just think, I don't think we'll get anything like that with ACE security. But that's.
They would lead the parade whether or not, just as the fire department leads the parade.
Sure, I'm not saying, yeah, I hear you. I just think that it's a great deterrence.
Okay. In terms of relationship with the Eastline Police, I spoke with the head of ACE, and he said they service all the other Eastline beaches. They have forever. They used to service us, and they have a very, very close relationship, a very positive relationship with the Eastline Police for that reason. They have been working for so long in the Eastline community. So that per se didn't seem to be much of a deterrent. Mike, can I have you weigh in, please?
Sure. I talked to ACE on Monday of last week. The guy is going to write a proposal. I told him what we were looking for, you know, the Saturday and Sunday night coverage. They don't have a problem with it. They may be able to work with us how many hours we want, either 6 or 8. If there's any problems where they can't handle it, they're in line with the East Lyme Police Department. They'd be there for holidays. We sort of need to know what we want from them. He's going to write something up, and I talked to him yesterday. He says he won't have it until tomorrow, Friday, or early next week, Monday. It's kind of late into the season to be hiring these kind of people, but he says he's going to work with us, and he'll be able to probably fit us in. So we'll get more back from that and be better. He's proposing that to start the service at the end of June and would go through till the first week in October. And those aren't in stone. That's just something to start working with. So I'm waiting to get that, and as soon as I get that, I'll let Cheryl know what the outcome is and send her what they've sent me. So if anybody has any questions, I'll see if I can answer them.
We can decide that tonight.
Any questions for Mike?
Mike, this is Rick. What's the gain?
Well, I, as was mentioned, sometimes I guess the PD is on volunteer duty, so if they don't get any volunteers, we don't get any coverage. This way, it's this is their business. They're there every day. They supply you with what's in the contract, and you know what you're getting, and you can talk to them, and, you know, it'll be, I don't know if it'll be the first year that we've done with an outside security place, but, you know, this is a starting thing, and he's willing to work with us, and it seemed very...
Okay, but considering what our issues are on the point, do we really need that much coverage?
Well, this coverage would be the same that we've had on Saturday and Sunday nights. This isn't having to do with any beach security or checking passes or parking. You know, if we need to go further into our security thing, he's open to talk about that. But he needs to know what's going on by the end of May at the latest.
So in essence, it'd be giving us the same coverage as East Lyme, only as a private entity.
Yes.
They will be giving us guaranteed coverage as opposed to volunteer coverage, and they will not be charging $69 an hour.
Well, but the contract will be longer, I believe,
no,
though, right?
No, you would amend that for us.
I
made that, maybe.
But excuse me, still, it's Phil Lombardo, but we don't have any, he hasn't given us a quote yet, is that correct?
That is
correct.
Correct.
He's gonna,
so we have nothing to compare, right?
Well, right. So the figures that we had from last year, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike.
No, we don't have anything yet, but I haven't seen anything on paper from the cops either, so. You know,
well, no, but we don't know how much it's going to cost, mm-hmm. Is that correct?
We have an idea. First of all, he talked to his people and said they would waive the 8 hour a day minimum and modify it to meet our needs. And I'm sorry I don't have the figures. I know I reported them at another meeting, but their rates were close to half of the $69. We don't have to make a decision today. I think it's something for everyone to think about, and Mike will get more information. Or what we need to do is determine for whether it be the police or ACE, and especially ACE because we need to give them the information, what do we need this summer? That's what we have to make the more immediate decision about because we need to line someone up. So some of the responses in the email were like, do we really need someone on Saturday and Sunday nights? It's not Friday and Saturday nights, which we have a discussion about that pretty much every year. And the other thing is, do we feel like we might need someone instead or in addition to as an enforcer? The problem is we don't really know. That's the problem everybody's dealing with. We don't know what's going to happen. Do we want to play it safe, or do we want to see what happens, and then if we need help, it's a crapshoot as to whether we can get them in terms of hiring someone with more clout than our staff.
So I don't understand the proposal. What's the proposal?
The proposal is based on what we want. So we need to tell them what we want. Do we still want a Friday and Saturday night for 4 hours? Do we feel like we need someone midday on weekends or all weekends at the beach? That's what we have to talk about tonight, because we unfortunately need to make decisions well before we know exactly what's going to happen. We're just going based on, you know, we're going to most likely have a lot of people coming from New England to this area because they can't, they have to quarantine themselves if they go to the upper New England states. We know that East Lyme is going to only allow half of the people in. The need for enforcement is something we have to look at and discuss. And then we can find out from ACE and the police what they can do for us.
Right.
So we don't know what they could do for us, and we don't know how much they cost.
We know they cost close to half based on last year's numbers that someone gave it to me. I can't remember who it was, but I had a report from last year, and I'm sorry I don't have it on hand. I brought it up two meetings ago, but it was close to the $30-something an hour. I can't guarantee that, but it's nowhere near $69 an hour.
Right.
Cheryl, can I just say we spent $3,800 on the police services contract with East Lyme the last summer, so we can base off that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did, Jim. I divided the hours in the book that Al paid by the total price and got $69 an hour. So the two fallbacks are they're very expensive and they don't come when we need them. They were here less than 75% of the time. Anyway, before we make further discussion on that, unless someone feels desperately needy to do that, more importantly, is what is it that we need?
Well, this is Rick. We need somebody that could take action, and the police could take action where I don't know if ACE could do that.
ACE can do that. They said in their history of working for the other eight beaches, whenever they call the police respond. They can only call the police if someone's breaking a rule. So if we just have a recommendation, then they can't call the police. They can just ask people to leave. If they ask people to leave and people get belligerent, then they can call the police. If it's a rule on the books that we have voted on, like what we just voted on tonight, then they can call the police and the police come.
But the major concern we're looking at is when people become belligerent, and I think that's where the police come in, and we could call them too, right?
He means belligerent like they say no. I have been said no to many times when I have seen people breaking rules and mentioned it to them, even when it includes children in danger.
Well, I prefer keeping it the same, but that's my opinion.
Okay. We don't have to decide that tonight. We just need to decide if we want more than Friday or Saturday night in terms of any kind of support on the beach.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Phil Lombardo. I think to me, it's obvious that we probably will need more support on the beach. I'm thinking that we'll need it, you know, in July and August when things get busy. But I don't know what it is or how much it's going to be. But I think we should be prepared. And I don't know if I'd want to write a contract. With ACE saying, come here every day for 10 hours or 5 hours or whatever it is for the summer. So I don't know. So it makes it tricky, but I do think we should set some more money aside for security.
All we have to do is decide what we think we would like and then see how reasonable it can get covered by either service. But If we want support,
we have a third service too, Cheryl. We have our guards. We have our guard staff.
Correct.
And they can do things. You know, there's been some discussion about keeping an eye on the parking lots. We can do that maybe with the guards. We don't need ACE to do that. I don't think. Maybe I don't know. So,
I'm not worried about parking. I am worried about frayed nerves on the beach when limits are set and people perceive freedoms as being imposed upon.
There's no way we're going to have enough people. We can't hire a police department to be here to take care of that. All we can do is do what we always do, and that is, you know, you push it up to command. Jim takes care of it if he can, and then if he can't, he gets the cops in. I don't know who else should do it.
Okay. Any other
I'd like to make one recommendation, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yes. So I just would like to make one recommendation, and I don't know if we have to do it now or, but I do think the odds are that we're going to need more money in our security budget. When we did our budget, we went ahead and put, you know, we have a line item there that talks about long-term, you know, reserve fund for long-term capital. And we increased that. It's always been $8,500. This year we made it $13,500 because we think that, you know, well, we spent money on the piers and we might need it more again. But I would like us to think about, and I don't know if tonight's the night, but I would like to think about bringing that reserve fund number back down to 8,500 and taking $5,000 out and moving it into the security line account, so that we have some money to deal with any issues that come up. I don't know what they are, but I think we're going to need some. So that's
now, can I ask you to address that for Phil? I got a sense that there is flexibility in some of our funds that can be moved into, it's not capital improvements, but the contingency fund. At any rate, without me naming the funds, Al, could you tell us whether we need to actually shift things around or if that money can be made available with the budget as it is?
I think, Cheryl, this is Al. At this time, you know, we haven't voted on the budget, so although that's the one that the members are going to be looking at.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. It would, you know, we also have this contingency fund in there,
yeah,
of the $25,000, which basically says, you know, this is for some unknown event. Now, I don't know if you want to consider this an unknown event, but
no,
we could, you know, use part of that.
But that money, Al, is not money that we've collected in taxes. That's money in our savings account. So
correct.
We're taking money out of our savings account to pay for security. And I don't want to do that. If we talked about, you know, we increased this one light item.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to need the money, and I think. Yeah, I don't know if we can move it anytime we want, but
okay,
it would seem like.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you because that's a discussion for our May meeting.
Well, it's. Are we going to
modify the budget? Even though we've presented it to the community already, they will, just by the fact that we brought it up, they'll know we're thinking about it, and we can discuss it at the budget meeting. It's not something we can solve tonight. And if we decide
that makes
more security, that will be the support we need if we need to change the budget next month, in a couple of weeks.
Fine.
Okay.
This is Mike Johnson.
Yeah, Mike.
So if we're looking at more security, are we looking at weekday hours during the day or at night or to service back up the beach patrol and the beach manager? What are we looking at? Because are we going to get would the police be able to do that, or would you need to go on the outside and get a private security?
If you had your druthers, Mike, what would you recommend that we have for any additional security this summer? What would it look like?
Well, I guess you have to anticipate there's going to be a lot of people on the beach, and I don't know how Jim feels. He knows a little bit better on how his beach patrol people could do it, but if we're going to need more security during the day, I don't know if the police department does that during the day. I have no idea. They might do it, but if we're involved with ACE, then we do have
what we need, and then look at getting our needs met. So
right.
What do you think we will need this summer, and then we can look for the service? Obviously, the board will have to decide, but Mike, since you brought it up, what would it look like if we had the kind of security you think we might need this summer, knowing that anything can change in a day? We have to act on something.
Well, I think it all depends upon what kind of responsibilities we're going to give to the beach patrols and Jim. If they feel they can handle what's on the signs and the Beach Point Black Point Beach people read the signs and adhere to them, we should have flawless and we should go through with no problems. But I'm sure there's going to be a few wrinkles. And if Jim thinks that the Beach Patrol, if this part of their job description to inform the public and tell them, you know, politely what's going on, and these are the rules, and we appreciate if you would abide by it.
So Mike, this is Rick. A lot of the premise of higher security really goes on the basis that the natives will go wild, they will revolt against all the restrictions, and therefore we need more security. I'm of the view that the natives understand what's going on, the community understands, it's a good community. I think that Jim can handle it, and I don't think we need the extra security right now. Yes, there's going to be wrinkles. There always is wrinkles.
Right.
But I don't think
that
we can.
I'm not advocating it during the day, but I think we need to hear from Jim what he thinks.
Jim, how do you feel
yes.
about the need for support for you and your staff? I'm sorry, I take objection with referring to our membership as natives going wild. I think that it's
yeah.
reasonable to expect at a time of crisis that we may have more difficulties than usual, and we never have perfection. In this case, some things may be more life-threatening than people picnicking on the beach. But
yeah.
Jim, do you feel like you need the support of external services? Do you anticipate that, or do you feel like that you can manage, and you have consistently gotten responses from people that are positive when you have asked them to change their behaviors on the beach?
I know. This is a whole. It seems to me this is all different. And if we're all in this together, I think with a lot of promotional, maybe on Facebook, on the website, in the black corner, you know, asking people to social distance, maybe getting some of those yard signs and getting them up in the, you know, rights away as people are coming in, maybe on the beach and be all along the beach. And we can get those signs pretty cheap and, you know, double-sided, and just keep 6 feet apart, you know, keep promoting it, plus an extra guard maybe, you know, bump it up, give me an extra guard every day. And we'll be on the beach, walking up and down the beach, and I think people will, it'll be like smoking. You know, people just kind of self-regulate that. They don't smoke on the beach anymore, and I think that might happen here. But
Jim,
I don't know.
Have you found that to be accurate in as simple a situation as parking in the right of ways when people aren't supposed to be parking?
Wait, say that again. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
It appears that you think that everyone will read the signs and respect them. Have you found that, I'm just thinking back on last summer and the many, many comments we got at Board of Governors meetings about parking and activities on the right-of-ways, which are marked. So are you feeling like a sign is going to ensure that everybody is going to be cooperative and considerate?
Or, Jim, do you think that the COVID-19 has a little more authority than parking?
Rick, can Jim please answer my question?
I think people will get the message. I think we'll be talking about it. I think it'll be up front and I kind of do. I don't think the messages, these posters shouldn't be too long. Like, really, they should be simple messages, 6 feet apart, wear a mask, whatever. If you're sick, stay home. Very simple. And just have them all over the place and Facebook. I think that will work.
Right.
And the short example we have is last weekend, they were social distancing.
Okay, Cheryl, it's Phil, I think that the sign will help, but it doesn't always work. But I think if we gave Jim maybe more than one, because I think we might need somebody that actually monitors the parking lot. So I think we should ask Jim to see what he needs for. His guard service and make sure he has enough people, and that's why I want to put some more money in that account so that he can hire two or so more people to make that happen.
Any other discussion? Just to piggyback on what you said, Phil, a few people, I can't remember whether it was emails or in person, thought that perhaps since we are pretty assuredly not going to have recreation, that some of those older counselors, they'll be 17 years old, might also be available for employment if we choose to do that. Okay, I am going to assume, since there are no motions, we do not want to take any action on security. So, is that okay? Everybody done? Anybody want to say anything else about it?
Nope.
Okay. The last thing on the agenda is, I know at the last meeting, I believe it was Jim brought up the spring cleanup. And at that point, the conclusion was cleaning up the clubhouse and grounds would send a message that it was going to be available for you. Jim focused on a way to get it cleaned up with social distancing and came up with a very creative plan that he would like to share. So let's hear from Jim and then decide not whether it's a good idea or not, it's a wonderful idea, but whether it's implementable and whether we want to or need to clean up the grounds while they are closed to the public. So, Jim, let's hear from you.
Yes. Okay, so really what I came up with and trying to have fun with it, but maybe we meet at a specified date and we can either do like a Zoom meeting, or we can kind of meet at the clubhouse. And I have these task cards, and they have a picture of what needs to be done, like whether it's around the front of the clubhouse or by the bocce court or by the playground. And I have like 20 different task cards with a picture on it and your task that you have to take care of. So I could just hand out these task cards, go and do it, come back, and we celebrate. Something along that line. And we could turn it into like a bingo game, because we can use these task cards as bingo cards, and then we can bring Rick's talent as the bingo Rick, and we could make it into a fun event like that, something like that, play on that. But I'm just throwing stuff at the wall here.
Thank you, Jim. Can we have any discussion on that?
This is Rick. I'd be happy to help in any way I can.
Yep. Thank you, Rick.
This is Mike. I agree. I think it sounds good. I think it's a good concept. Any help he needs, and I agree.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, Cheryl, Steve. I'll help where I can.
Say that again, Steve.
Sounds like a good idea. I'll be there with my leaf blower if you need help.
Yes. And Will, did I hear you about to say something?
Yeah, he says he's in too.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yes. So maybe we'll start next Saturday. I'll put it out.
Thank you so much for all your work. I'm sure you will make sure people are keeping a safe distance apart. And thank you for all the work you did in making the cards. And thank you for your creativity and your general wonderful spirit in hard times. I also wanted to, I don't know if everybody knows, and unfortunately we won't be able to celebrate with it for a while, but through the efforts of Will and I think Jim and Mike, and Cindy, Will and Cindy, we have a new beautiful clubhouse floor. And while the clubhouse is closed, one can see the floor through the windows. It's just magnificent. It's durable. It's a new material that didn't exist before, so we don't need to worry about it. And, you know, the floor not being heated in the winter, et cetera, et cetera. So any of you that are listening, please check it out. And, again, thank you so much for the people that made it happen. We can't have any more new – yes, Steve.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Okay. Cheryl, it's Phil. I just have a quick question. How many people were still on the line?
47, so probably 30, high 30s that aren't officers or board.
Okay, thanks.
Does anybody else have anything related to these issues? We can't have any new business, but I don't want to close if someone feels like something's been left unsaid. All right. Thank you so much.
I was moved to adjourn, Steve.
Wait. Pardon me?
Hey, Cheryl.
I was moved to adjourn, Steve.
No, wait. Can I, before you adjourn, are we still on that grounds maintenance strategies with my name? Can I bring up a question?
Yeah, mostly it was related to the cleanup, but go for it.
Okay. Well, I guess, can you talk about clubhouse rentals and how you want to handle those going out? Or is there a cutoff date where you're going to accept rentals?
Okay. Let me explain to the board what Jim and I worked out, because once things were closed, people were continuing to want to rent. We did not want to take any deposits, so we returned deposits from people who had rented for like June, and said, you will get first priority when things open up. So there's kind of a not really a waiting list, but when we are permitted to have groups, we will certainly abide by any executive orders that say how big the groups can be, and we can talk about when to open the clubhouse. But right now, we are not taking reservations. The people that already have reservations will get first dibs as soon as it opens up, when that opens up, so that we don't have a backlog of checks to return. Does that answer your question, Jim?
Yes, it does. And I have, can I ask two other questions?
Yeah.
One's a reminder to Steve about we're still looking for Pinder to install that I-bolt at the end of Seabreeze Pier, if you can remind them.
Yeah, Jim, that's for the raft, right? And I didn't know if we were going to do rafts this year.
I know, but we still should have the I-bolt at the end.
Absolutely. I just don't know if that pushes them to come in and do that job and also do sealant between the slabs. If we're not going to do the raft, that gives them more time to do the sealant between the sections on the steel pier.
Yep. Yeah, really, up until tonight, I didn't really know if we weren't putting out the raft. But okay. Secondly, for sure.
Hang on just a second. Did we vote on raft?
We haven't yet. I didn't know what the board wanted to do with it.
Off on rafts until the next meeting. It's in 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Cheryl, I have an account at Costco, and I'd like to go beef up the cleaning supplies for the clubhouse.
Is it more than 200?
Get reimbursed for that.
Jim?
Pardon me?
Is it more than $250?
No.
Go for it. You don't have to ask.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. One other point. I've had some people, it's grounds maintenance. Member brought it up. And actually, I have pictures. He showed me that the tennis courts located behind the high school are open for residents to use. They have signage up there to remind people to keep 6 feet apart, and they have their own signage. But their tennis courts are open. There are people playing. And I've had members ask, because the town's doing it, are we able to have our hard courts open?
I believe the last meeting we were closing our entire recreational grounds as per the executive order.
Okay. So they'll stay closed.
One individual has spoken to me several times, and his conclusion was he will go to East Lyme and use their tennis courts.
Okay. Okay. Probably the same member.
Thank you, everybody.
That's it. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for all your hard work and all your patience and just dealing with this whole dilemma. You're just a great team. I am going to now ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Move we adjourn, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Second, Steve.
Are there any nays? Are there any abstentions? Okay, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.